Hey, what's happening, everybody? This is Dennis Terrell of Terrell Knife Works, and you and I are listening to the Work For It podcast, where the emphasis is on business in the workshop. You can support these guys for as little as $1 a month or $12 a year, and show your support by going to patreon.com/workforit to find out more. $12 a year, that won't even buy 2 gallons of gasoline here in California. You might as well support these guys like I do, so they can help us all work for it.
You're listening to the sultry sounds of the Work For It podcast. This week, thievery, drama, and lots of great questions from the patrons, which will all tie in together, by the way. Because
so we're veering away from an uplifting episode this week. Is that what you're saying?
It's definitely gonna be uplifting but informative, because we came out with the Scoop Project. There was some confusion about whether or not I want to be in business and make money selling things.
What?
It just seems very odd to me that like people are just stealing my spoon, like. And it happened with somebody in the community, somebody very well known, perhaps someone I would even call a friend, has stolen my idea.
What? Really? I didn't see that.
And in fact, to the point of on his podcast, he even goes so far as to tell how he did it. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, I'm waiting.
Spoon kit. And before I went and made it, I ran upstairs to the computer and went to Fusion 360. And I'm sitting here with calipers measuring the kit and did the design of those things in Fusion 360, sent them to SendCutSend. So I've got a whole bunch of those coming to the shop.
So, All right. I'm excited. Thank you, man.
Literally, these two thieves have recreated my spoon kit.
Oh.
And then so brashingly talked about it on their podcast about how they did it. And they're like, you know what? I just reached my hand right into Brian's pocket, pulled out a bunch of 20s. And then ran all the way to the bank with it.
Oh, boy.
This seems to be a very common problem amongst the people in this community. People thieving designs and then going out and making millions of dollars off of our hard work. And I'm fucking sick of it. And in fact, it's crazy to me that these guys are doing it so out in the open. Can you imagine this is being done?
That's never happened to you before. I've never seen another company steal your design brazenly sell it as their own. That's crazy.
So what I want to talk about in this episode, by the way, I'm joking. Okay. I don't like that people are recreating my scoops. I'd rather them buy them from me. But the reality of it is I knew this was going to happen. We had this conversation weeks before we even released the Scoop Project. And I had to come to the realization that it's going to happen no matter what. And then what it does is it creates an environment in which a business will have to get creative with how they monetize their work. Okay. So in the knife world, obviously, you make knives, right? And the designs of your knives, you know, it's a sharp, pointy thing. There's going to be some overlap on design. There's going to be some thievery of design. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it's a lot of work to make a knife, you know?
Yeah.
And what I've done with the scoops is I've made it very simple to produce one of these things. And that was the goal, right? That's been my goal for creating any kind of project on the internet. That's just been the way I see it. And this has brought up a great conversation or a great set of ideas amongst us at Housemaid to try to figure out, okay, we're going to do this work, right? We're going to make things for people to make and get them making in their workshop. Ultimately, we hope they buy our tools. You know, that's really where this comes down to. I want them to buy a Revolution and a Forge and maybe a Swage Block, Top Tool, whatever. If you buy those things, you're going to have a much better experience. That's where we monetize this thing. However, it's not sustainable for me to buy hundreds of these things only to have somebody just copy them and buy them for half the price from someone else. I mean, it just, that doesn't make sense, right? Why would I do that? So in this episode, I want to brainstorm with you guys a little bit about what the future looks like for people who design and make products and how you can still sell to your customer something that it has value, has a margin in it so you can make money, and or another creative way in for folks to use your designs, license your designs, and make the products that you sell. Ultimately, my gift is in the design side, you know, and the marketing side. So if I can convince folks to, say, sign up for a patron where you get access to all my work, you get the design library of Brian House and all the things that I've designed over the years, and you get the commercial license to replicate them. And that's kind of like what we're looking at right now, because I love this work. I loved making the Coffee Scoop project. It really fulfilled me. It made me feel like I was doing more creative and artisan work. I love seeing what other people are doing with it. So how can we create some sort of homeostasis where there's a balance between somebody like me making things and designing things and still being a part of a sustainable business? You know, that's the other part of it. Because the Scoop Project, when we sell a $100 Scoop kit, it's got swage block and the top tool and all that, our margin is like $25. There's not a lot of money in it. I mean, it's just really small. I sold hundreds of them, and I'll probably continue to sell hundreds of them. So in through quantity, you know, you'll make a margin on it. But how do we do this long term and keep it sustainable? And that's what we're going to talk about today. So I'm joking, by the way. I'm not mad at Dennis. I'm really more mad at Jared for encouraging him to do this thievery, this bullshit. If you're not already listening to the Triple T podcast, you should go out and listen to it, by the way. And Dennis apologized to me last night because I think Brent is more mad about this than I am. Brent could not drop it yesterday. He was like, I can't believe he's doing this. Oh my God, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, hey, we knew this was kind of happening. He goes, I can't believe it's Dennis. I can't believe he would talk about it on his podcast. I'm like, he's clearly doesn't understand that, you know, we didn't intend for this to be, you know, just something somebody could go. If we wanted people to go out and make their own, we would have just supplied the DXF files so people could just go off and rip it off even quicker and easier, which, by the way, we'll do that if we decide to go the patron route. You know, if I create something and it's a successful project, then I'll just upload the DXF files to the patronage and you have at it, you know, just get them cut out and stuff. It saves us the logistics of having to handle and process all of that parts anyway. And the other thought I had was I'm going to reach out to Send Cut Send. I've got a contact over there, Austin over at iCaliber Craftsman set me up with a contact that he has over at Send Cut Send. And we were thinking, why not have a partnership with Send Cut Send so that if you decide you want to do our projects, you just go literally to their website and there'll be a Brian House section. You can click on what you want to purchase and they'll cut it out for you and send it to you. You know, those are other ways
to make it. Skip the double shipping, ship to you, totally. Then ship out to the customer.
Holy shit, dude. The processing of these parts and just, handling them, packaging them, and shipping them out to the customers where the loss is. It really is. It's just so much work to do it. So that's what we want to do.
On the idea of worrying about people kind of ripping off your design, even though like you're specifically showing them and encouraging them to make something that is yours, that's one of the things that I was worried about, not necessarily with the BDE class, but with the chef knife class. Like I did with Jeff Carey over at Blades and EDC. I'm sorry, I'm reading it off of the Instagram, my bad. Because I showed him exactly how I make my 8-inch K-tip chef knife, Hidden Tang. Like, right, this is the exact knife that I make and sell and do. So I was thinking, well, do I change the design and, you know, kind of make it so that he doesn't make the exact thing that I make? But then I realized, like, you know, that's what I'm most comfortable with. That's going to be the easiest to teach. And, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, just I decided to just go with my design because that's what I'm most comfortable with. But I guess good question to either of you guys. If you guys were teaching a class, like specifically making a chef knife or, you know, in-person class where you are there showing them how you do it step by step, would you do a design that you've already done and you it's kind of your bread and butter, or would you do something totally different?
I would do what the student wants to do.
Mm.
So that's where I would start off. You know, if the student says he wants to make a chef knife, then we'll probably go through a design process and have him design his own chef knife. With, you know, with not it being exaggerated, obviously, you know what I'm saying? Like, some people would literally want the blood of their enemies and the steel of their knives, and that can't always be possible. So
that's so, what you know, I want.
Yeah, that, exactly. So I can't do that for you. I'm sorry. But yeah, you know, if it's simple, I would let them design their own thing, because not everybody's going to want a chef knife, right? So you're limiting yourself to what your class is. So if somebody wants to come in and he, you know, it doesn't have to be three different programs either. They come in, what do you want to make today, bud? EDC knife. Perfect. I got the BDE that we could work on. Or if you want to go with your own design, we could sketch something up real quick and we could move forward from there.
Yeah. I'm going to take a different tact on it because you're going to learn from the master here. The master is Jason Knight. What does he teach when you go to take a Jason Knight class? It's his classic kukri. He knows that knife in and out. He's made it 100,000 times. Who knows? Yeah. And he brings these people in and they all want to make a kukri with Jason. Now, do you think that Jason could make more money selling a kukri, right? Or can he make more money teaching six people how to make a kukri? My guess is teaching the six people is way more lucrative. Mm. And it, would you be concerned? This is even a bigger question, is when we do anything at all, any creative endeavor, you have to ask yourself and become very comfortable with the concept that it will be stolen if you share the process of making that thing on the internet.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, from doing this and having experience at this for 5 years, and I'm going to say this again, and I've said this a bunch of times here, but I got to reiterate it, because a design is not a business.
Yeah.
A knife is not a business. A coffee scoop is not a business. There is logistics. There's shipping. There's design. There's execution. There's customer service. There's all of these things. And if you don't have all those things in concert with one another, you don't have a business. You might have a poorly running business that will fail at some point, but you don't have a business. So when all these guys start creating their own versions of My Grinder or 2x72 in general, you know, I get these messages from people like, look at this guy, he's selling this kit for $400. I'm like, yeah, there's no money in it. The guy's walking away with like maybe $10 profit. And he's going to find out real quick to make that money on that grinder. It's going to be so difficult to squeeze that margin out of that machine that he's got a very short lifespan in this business. And you know how I know that? It's because I do it every day. And so it's the same concept with a knife. And all these people get butt hurt about designs and stealing and thievery and all that. It's noise. It is noise and it's negative and it's pulling you away from what the real business is, the real job is. If you're going to get stuck in the concept that somebody is doing something like you have done, I'm going to flip in your mind like a light switch right now. I want you to flip this switch and say, I'm flattered they would steal my design. I'm flattered. It's amazing and I'm flattered. Thank you. Because I'm watching all these guys making my coffee scoops out of their own materials, or they're getting it cut by Sen Cut Sen and they're putting them on their tables. They're selling them. They're making money. That was ultimately the goal here. Of course I want them to buy the parts from me. If they don't do it, I can't stop them. So I should be flattered. I want to be known for somebody that helped a community of people to make and build things. Okay. Not just a internet capitalist, not just a person who is out to do a money grab. Cause you guys know, like, I'm not in it for all of the money. Yeah. A business has to be sustainable. Yes, I need to make money. Yes, it has to like have a profit margin so I can grow Housemaid. But at the end of the day, we're all just rats in a cage, man. We're all doing the same thing.
Despite looking for that, ages.
We're just looking for a piece of cheese. So remember, what is the cheese? If you're going to be out there thinking, well, I can't show anybody this thing or how I made it, because if I do that, then somebody's going to duplicate it and then they're going to steal all my customers. Bullshit they are. Your audience is the people that are watching you work are your supporters. They're going to buy from you. And if they don't, they're not your audience. So get smart. Build a bigger audience. Build a bigger attention span. You can do this work. It just takes a little pivoting to make it happen. So over the course of time, I'm going to try, especially in this conversation, I really want to try to get you guys to loosen your grip on the concept that you're a special fucking snowflake, because you are not. You all come from the same compost heap I came from. It's the same concept. We come from a pile of dust and dirt and stardust that was created. You're a meat popsicle wandering around a blue and green orb. And guess what? You haven't had an original idea in your head ever. I'm just here to tell you that. You just haven't. Neither have I. So guess what? Suck it up, Buttercup. Get out there, make something, and go fucking make some money. Make a business and stop worrying about what other people think. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, you get the chance to look at your bank account just like I do. And I go, yeah, we did good this month. We did really good this month because I took a risk and I didn't worry about what other people said. Because if you look at my business model, I find little niche projects like these things. And I see value in them in the way that they're being made and sold, okay? So is the coffee scoop, the copper coffee scoop with a stainless handle, an original concept? Absolutely not. How I did it is original, and how I presented it and made it easy for the community to make it is also very original, okay? So how do I now turn this thing around and go, okay, I've got like all this money invested in parts and I've, swage blocks and the $30,000 invested in a 120-ton press, and I've got all these people recreating my shit and not paying me to do it. Holy fuck. That would make my brain spin out and just implode. But the reality of it is that now I just got to pivot a little bit and get creative with it. I am on a path. And I don't really know where the destination is, nor do I care. I get a chance to do this beautiful work with the beautiful community. So just so you guys understand, I love this work, and it's up to me only, to create the monetization side to keep it sustainable. Okay. So do I want you to steal my designs? Absolutely not. Do I want you to buy my tools, the swage blocks, the forges, the grinders? Yes, I do. Please keep doing that. But ultimately, at the end of the day, somebody with half a brain in their head can recreate anything I've done, anything at all. It is very available now with all these tools and everything out there. I saw the writing on the wall 5 years ago when I released my plans and my drawings and everything. And all these guys going, I can't believe you do that. You give them the keys to the kingdom. I can't believe. Yeah, it's the basis of my business. It keeps me moving forward. It keeps me innovating. I am a free market capitalist. And if you don't understand what free markets is this. I can sell and make whatever you sell and make. I can do it better. And if I do it better, I can move you out of the business. I can take what you're doing and I can make the process better and I can profit from it. That keeps you innovating. That keeps me innovating. Competition is good for the market. You think you're going to invent one thing, and it's going to pay you out for 25 years? That doesn't happen anymore. We don't live in a society with CNC and the ability for all these people to recreate anything at any time. You have to keep innovating, and that's a good thing for you. Struggle is good. It is a good thing. And the cream always rises to the top, and I'm filled with cream, baby. You know it and I know it. Let's go. I'm going to keep doing it and you're going to keep doing it. So this is your Thursday morning wake-up call with me backhanding you right in the face going, stop worrying about what other people are doing and start focusing on yourself and what you're doing. Because if you do that, then you too can be successful and handsome and strong just like Brian Cohn. Okay. So just keep that.
I'm just stuck that you said that I'm not a special snowflake and I'm a millennial. I feel like I'm a snowflake to begin with. I've been told I'm a millennial snowflake since I've been able to walk, and
you'll
here
grow
I am.
Out of it. Don't worry.
Stop acting like a snowflake cone.
Oh, but mom.
I mean, he is a sharp Santa after all, so there is that.
But to come back around to what you were saying about all that is, it's just like anything else. Like, is there only Dunkin' Donuts? No, there's Tim Hortons, there's Starbucks, and there's many other coffee shops. And 100%. Is there only Folgers? No, there's Maxwell and how many other coffee companies? You know,
people make money putting water in a bottle.
Exactly.
And selling
everything's
it.
Been done and being done more than once by more than one person. You know what I'm saying?
Look at Liquid Death. Remember we were having this conversation about Liquid Death?
Right.
It's like dudes literally put water in a can and put a nice label on it. He gave it a name, and they came out of nowhere. Black Rifle Coffee Company is another one where it's like they're selling fucking coffee. You can get coffee everywhere, and yet it's a billion-dollar industry now. This is like crazy to me.
Microbreweries, same thing. Those came out, 15, 20 years ago? And it started with one in one town somewheres, you know, and then now they're everywheres. And these beers being made in these microbreweries are being sold nationwide. You know what I'm saying? So it's 100%. Like everybody's fucking doing it. Everything else is the same. Why couldn't Forges, Grinders, Scoops, like it's going to happen. There's somebody making scoops by the dozens out there selling them. And then there's going to be more than one person doing that. And there's going to be more than one person down the road making kits for these scoops. You know what I'm saying?
100%.
Snowball effect. They're going to see what I'm doing. With everything.
They see what I'm doing and they go, and remember we talk about this all the time. Smash and grabbers. These guys going, hey, look at how many things that Brian House is selling and blah, blah, blah. I'm going to do that too. And I just want to make money and I want to do a cash grab. It's like, okay, well, do you really love it though? Like, is that really what you want? Because you know, man, it's hard work, you know?
How I see it, like in like Dennis's case, right? Like he's going full time, right? So he's got to explore different routes on how he could make this full time gig work. And he's been talking about introduction to blacksmithing and all that shit too, you know? And sure, it would be cool if you guys could add partner to up and like come make a house made spoon here at Tyrell Knifeworks shop as a class for intro to whatever. But if he went and designed and wants to have his own feel to his product and his class, you know what I'm saying? Like his own label, he's going to do like everybody else, like Folgers did when Maxwell came out with coffee. It's like, I'm going to make coffee too, man. And I'm going to make it tasting the way I like it. So Dennis is going to make something that suits his brand.
That's right.
And offer it as a product class. And you leave with a spoon. And it's not recreating your spoon technically. It's like that would be like reinventing the wheel, and nobody's reinventing the wheel here.
But I could take a little credit for it, right? I could say like, hey, you know, exactly.
Absolutely.
Do I need the credit? No, I don't give a fuck. It's not about that. It's about keeping people making. Okay. So, and hopefully I can make some money in there and I find a little margin in there, but you're right. If I inspired Dennis to go out and make these coffee scoops, and to create them and to find his little niche market and doing that work because he's going full time and he needs the money. It's like, okay, cool. I got to be a part of that. I take pride in that, but it's really ultimately I didn't do anything. All I did was just inspire people, which has again been a big core part. And it's, by the way, inspiration is very valuable monetarily. People look at the work I do and they see it and they get inspired and they appreciate the work and then they go off and do something else. And eventually, hopefully it comes back around and they buy something from me, like a tool or whatever. But like, I'm so excited about this because, I never really talk numbers, but let's talk numbers. The coffee scoop brought in $20,000 in revenue in 2 weeks for me. Okay.
That's what I thought.
That's revenue. That's not profit. The margin on it is not much, but it's there. There's margin. Why this is inspiring to me is because it's proof positive that people want these kinds of projects. And I don't know if you guys remember, but like 10 episodes back, I was talking about not doing this. And I was saying like, I don't know. I can't really figure out how to make money with it. And it's a lot of work. And Jeff Fader kind of stepped in and said, like, I think you should do it. And I took a lot of it took a lot of thought because I just didn't really know if it could be monetized or if it had any value other than just the money side of it. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that there's tons of value in it. There's so many guys out there that want to do this project for none other than absolute just creating the thing. They don't want to sell it. Yeah. They don't care about
that. What's the first thing? Oh, sorry about that. What's the first thing guys are doing when they get their kit? Is they're making that fucking scoop. They're not putting that box down and waiting for tomorrow to make that scoop.
No,
they're making
it happens now, right away.
Right away. So, you know, it's that like wanting to make something different, especially like I myself, a knife maker full time. All I do is make knives, right? I'm looking at 5 folders in the shop right now. And to be honest with everybody, I'm a little disgusted with the process right now because they're not my favorite to make. And it's opening day for fishing right now. So we all know where that's going today, right? So it's just, you know, it's got, I forgot. Oh yeah. I would like, that's where I was going. I would enjoy making something different. Like the other day I sent my mother across the border. Well, she was going across the border. I asked her to stop by the bank, grab me a roll of quarters. I was like, I got to make something different. Grab me a roll of quarters, US quarters. I'm making mokume gane. So I did it. You know, I had to do something different. There's another day where I was like, I'm just sitting there for hours doing nothing. It's like, I got to make something different. And I made a knife, yes, but I did something different in the process. And that was including layered stainless and copper fine mesh screen, you know? So it's like that urge to want to make something different happens often with me. And shit like the spoon project, well, I'm not calling it shit, but stuff like the spoon project, the scoop, that is an outlet to be able to feed that creative wanting, that need, you know, that creative need that you have to make something different. So those little projects, you could keep on coming up with them, man, and they're going to move.
I agree.
100%. You could make a steak flipper project where you just get a two pieces or whatever. You get the part of like, you get the steel cut out, stainless steel. People bend them how they want to bend them, make their own shape, put a twist in the handle, whatever. It could be anything and slap a handle on it or not. It could be 100%. A kit. You know what I'm saying? So you could keep this ball going and keep on feeding that need that people have like me to make something different outside of their normal creations.
Going back to the conversation of, you know, knowing that people are going to rip you off, a person that I think we should talk up to about this whole idea is Kyle Daly, because he does a lot of like 3D printed, like the sled for cutting out the pin, like the pin materials, or his little racks for putting your epoxies upside down so that they're ready to go. There's so many different projects and products that he makes that are all 100% 3D printed. I could see somebody buying one, doing basically the same thing with the calipers and figuring it out, and then slapping their logo on it and selling it just the same.
Well, that's interesting that you brought that up.
Yeah, or buying the file and putting your name on it and calling it yours.
Which has also happened. And it's interesting that you say this, because I just came out, or I'm working on prototyping a hand sanding machine called the Sanding Dragon. And it's this thing that, you know, it's great. It's like this moving machine that just does. It's a completely original concept.
Yeah.
And what I'm going to do, what I was thinking about doing, was just buying one from Dennis, grabbing my calipers, measuring every bit of it, and then recreating it, making it cheaper, faster to manufacture, and then moving him completely out of the market.
And call it the Tyrell.
Now, what you should do, of course,
this is a joke.
You have to figure out which sex shop he buys the machinery from.
Wait a second, are we talking about Simeons here, or are we talking about hand-sanding machines?
Oh, geez. Anyway, I like I said, I don't mean to sound brash, but I think we're all hanging on a little bit too much to the idea. And this is, again, going back to where people come to me with ideas and I tell them, do not tell me any idea that you have, because it's not like I'm stealing it, but sometimes we're working on things behind the scenes And I had this happen once where a guy was like, hey, I got this idea for this thing. And I like wrote him back and I was like, yeah, we've been working on that for like over a year now. And he was like, really? And I'm like, yeah, it's not an original idea, by the way. This has been done here, here, and here. And it created animosity because this person thought that they had created this thing. And I'm like, literally, you designed, and if maybe you saw this and you just didn't realize you saw it, but it is identical to another maker's tool. Like, whoa, it's the same thing. And the guy's like, no, it's then it was, of course, now me exposing, like, shoot the messenger, right? I'm now the bad guy. And I love that you guys are thinking. I love that you're sharing concepts and ideas. But just be aware that an idea is literally worthless. Like, it means zero unless you execute it. And exactly, the execution is the hard part.
And you know what, yeah, though? There's over 8 billion people on this big blue and green ball that we rotate on. And you're not the first one to think of it, buddy. Like, the first, like, being able to be the first one to come up with something and an idea or whatever, those days are long gone. Like, those black and white days and all that, like, those are over. Like,
gone.
To come up with an original idea and put it out there, to have something that does something that has never been done before, is almost impossible with today's day. In today's days, like, technology and everything is just so advanced to be able to sit there and tinker something out. I could sit on my computer and take 20 minutes with AI and probably come up with a design concept for a prototype item of something that I might think has never been done. But like I said, there's over 8 billion of us out there, and somebody else has thought of it and probably has it written down on paper somewhere too. So,
comes down to advertising, marketing,
exactly,
logistics, customer 50-50. Service, all this. Yeah, all these things played together in a situation that creates a business. So, like, you've got this idea, and I think a lot of us think, like, it was, like you're saying, Pickle, back in the 30s and 40s, somebody came up with this amazing concept for a tool or an idea, and then they patented it because it was cheap back then to patent stuff, because there's not 100 million people submitting patent applications every day. And then they go, yeah, I'm going to sell that product because the, you know, United States government protects that design for the next 50 years. I'm the only one that's able to make it and sell it. A classic example of this now in America is the Yeti cup. Okay. Remember when Yeti came out with that really great tumbler cup that's insulated, so it doesn't sweat when you put cold things or hot things in it, like the outside didn't come out. Okay, so if you just look at that Yeti cup and look at how many of those things that are out there in the world that have the name Yeti on them, okay, number one, coolers, you'll see that their design, you can literally walk into a Walmart and see that exact cup with a different brand name on it, like 4 or 5 different ways.
Same thing, it's with their ice
exact
coolers.
Same cup. All they got to do is change it 15%. The patent no longer exists if you change the design 15%. Mm-hmm. And then you could spend 2 or 3 years in court fighting over this to try to, you know, get money or retribution, whatever, judgment. And then by then, you know, the other company has undersold you for, you know, a few bucks per unit and blah, blah, blah. This is why these guys don't argue about this stuff in court anymore, because it's meaningless. They know, they absolutely know their design is going to get ripped off. They're going to go off. They're going to sell the shit out of it and hopefully make a mad dash run and make their money and then move on to the next thing. That's how it works now. That's free market capitalism.
Perfect example, the snowboarding industry. Back in the day, like in the late 70s, early 80s, you had Tom Sims and Jake Burton arguing on who invented snowboarding. But way before then, in the 50s, there was guys floating around on snow and sticks entertaining their kids in their backyards. And Tom Sims nor Jake Burton did not invent the snowboard. You know, but they had this ongoing war for over a decade, East Coast, West Coast, because Tom Sims was from the West Coast, Jake Burton's from Vermont, and that was the whole thing back then. And they were literally rivalries against each other, and it was a whole thing. But like I said, the Snurfer had been made before Tom Sims even thought about making a snowboard and Jake Burton himself. So they did invent.
Again, it goes back to the noise. It's all just noise, and we got to stop distracting ourselves with this. Yeah.
Sometimes I wonder if some of those quote unquote rivalries are just gin up to get people pissed off. And, I'm from the West Coast, so I'm going to buy a shit ton of this. 100%. And realistically, how many people from the East Coast is buying from the West Coast, especially back then? You know, it's just to get sales up.
And it's everything. Like, there's
attention is a commodity.
Yeah, the apparel brands for, like, all the snowboarding apparel, like the jackets and all that. Like, that, the two back in the day, that was a big war. Like, there's this brand back in the day, West Beach, and it's a sought-after brand now. Like, people are still loyal to that brand, and they're not even around anymore. Like, if you're buying a West Beach jacket, you're buying it secondhand. And it's a whole West Coast thing, you know? They're strong on it and they're proud of it. And it's okay. It's fine. But they're not the first one to make a fucking snowboard jacket, right?
look at back in the 90s, you've got all these rap groups coming out, the West Coast, East Coast rivalries, right? And, you know, when you watch some of the documentaries that are now released about this, a lot of these guys were involved in this, were friends, and they were just doing it to create hype. Unfortunately, some people took it a little too far, and, you know, like, we lost some people to murder. Gun violence. But, like,
thanks, Suge Knight.
Yeah. Ask Tupac if it was real or not. We'll find out.
Tupac's still alive, man.
Oh, get the hell out of here. And so is Biggie, right? Biggie still so wandering around somewhere.
Biggie. Wait. Biggie is Bigfoot, right?
Well, you see where we're going with this. And you're right, Brian. I often think about this. Rivalry stuff. Attention is a commodity. Remember that. Your eyeballs. There's so many different places to put your eyes now with all the different content stuff going on and whatever. We now have to look at everything we do from that perspective. Is like, is this interesting? Are people going to want to do it? And are they willing to pay to do it? And so that's where we're at. Anyway, our after show question is going to be related to this, because somebody was called out for this in the community. And I think it's, again, I want to dig a little deeper into why this was a problem for this person. So we'll go that route. Meanwhile, I know I have been I hijacked the beginning of the show with all this fantastic, beautiful drama, which, by the way, I am going to cherish, because I love the fact that this is all tying together. And this is organic, by the way. None of this could be designed or built. I just love the fact that it all is kind of dumping out publicly, and I think it's great. So, and by the way, we're friends. You know, people remember this. Like, if you're willing to burn a bridge with a friend over stuff like this, were you really friends to begin with? That's a question. And also, before we switch into, I want to find out what you guys are up to in your workshops. Real quick, can you believe it's May? And that in a month from now, we're all going to be at Blade Show.
Oh, my God.
A month.
Man. It's May?
Yeah, it is May 1st.
It's May 1st.
She's a quick one.
Shit.
What's today? May Day? Is May 1?
Yeah.
May Day?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it's May Day.
Yeah. So. Yeah. But anyway, can you believe it? Blade Show, 1 month away.
Yeah, man.
That's wild.
And you know what comes before Cinco de Mayo and all these all these people are going to be celebrating that aren't even fucking Mexican is Cinco de Mayo.
I love Cinco de Mayo. Gives me a reason to eat tacos.
Yeah, but like, yeah, sure, you could eat tacos any fucking day, but like, Cinco de Mayo is like something people actually celebrate here in Canada too. Like, the bars take advantage of it, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
It's any reason to get drunk.
I know. Come on. And it's like, people celebrate it more here than they actually do St. Paddy's Day, and there's way more Irish people here than there are Mexicans, right? So it's like, I never understood that concept of like this whole shebang, because like, on 4th of July, do you go to Mexico to celebrate that shit? Do they celebrate 4th of July? No, they don't, right?
I don't know.
Do they celebrate Canada Day in Mexico? No, they don't. Like, they don't celebrate in the States. We don't celebrate 4th of July here. So why do like us as Northern Americans celebrate the freedom of a South American country? Like, I never understood that.
It's just an excuse.
Another reason to get drunk.
Exactly. It's an excuse just to go party. So, hey, you know, we got to find reasons to celebrate.
It's a weird thing to me. I don't know.
Now
maybe
that
it's
I don't
me.
Drink anymore, it's, yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, what are
like
you going to do on May 5th?
Around.
Like, seriously, like.
I'm going to work.
You're not going to be celebrating nothing all of a sudden because you don't drink anymore.
Don't drink. Yeah. And yeah, there's no reason to celebrate.
No, exactly.
But
yeah.
On that note, Pickle, what are you doing? Are you getting geared up for Cinco de Mayo or what in your workshop?
No, I'm actually all geared up to go fishing, dude. Like we had international waters opened April 15th and like rivers and brooks are opening today. So,
how far are you away from a coastline? Like how, like
from
drive
the shore.
Wise.
Like if I want to go to the eastern shore of New Brunswick, the North Shore we call, I'm about 3 hours away before I see shore water. Yeah, three and a half.
Now, will you go there to fish, or do you stay in the backwaters and
fish? I fish mainly. I don't fish open waters like that. I'll fish rivers and brooks more than anything else. Like
for
I like the,
what
for trout
kind of fish
for trout mainly. Yeah, I
now
mainly
you fly fish
trout.
Or
I do sometimes. Yes, I've I got all the setup and everything, but the way I enjoy fishing is a little extreme and dirty. So like fly fishing is not always accommodating to how I fish because I like to go where people don't go because that's where all the good fish is. And it could be really, really tight spots, a lot of branches, trees, you know, just walking through brush sometimes with expensive gear is not that great either, you know, and it's just an inconvenience to fly fish in some of these spots. But sometimes I do bring both. I'll bring my regular fishing rod and my fly fishing rig. And if I see that I'm not doing anything with worms that day and it's not doing good, well, I'll try to, you know, concentrate on fishing a different water. And like more open spaces and not get into those tight, dirty spots as much. But like, I literally get like adrenaline rushes from fishing, like just walking down the river as much as it's grounding and connecting. But you're also like constantly fighting current. And like, you never know when that one rock that could crack your skull open is going to, when you're going to step on it, right? Because them fuckers
are
slippery.
Good exercise too, I would imagine.
Because it is like, because sometimes you're walking up current as well too. So walking up current, you're not walking as fast or as easily as you normally would, trust me. And after you've done a mile of up current, you definitely feel it. Like I'm sure some people feel it less, but like all I do is make knives and I'm sitting down 90% of the time. 4 years ago, fishing was easy for me. Now it's a little bit harder because I've gained weight and all that. So to get out there and go fishing is motivating to actually get back on my weight loss regime and all that shit too. So
now could you use these fishing trips as a means to sell knives? Will you take some blades with you? And
I could, yes,
take
absolutely.
Some photos?
I could absolutely. I don't have any of my knives personally. I know that sounds crazy. I have 600 plus
you
knives.
You don't
made.
Carry one of your own knives as
I
a
don't
daily
have,
is what
I
you're
don't,
saying.
Yeah, I don't have any. I own zero pickle cutter knives. My parents have two. My brothers each have one, and I have none.
Wow.
Why? Yeah. Because they sell? And
every time I want to keep a knife, it sells.
Like, I got you.
And I'm, you know, to keep a knife or to take $500-$600, you know, you really have to think about it. Because that knife I'm going to take out with me once or twice, you know. I've got a knife sitting in front of me. That's the one that made all that noise earlier. It's actually a Mike Jones knife and tool. Like I carry other people's
knives. Here's a thought. Since you don't have your own knives, could you take, say, a knife from another maker and do a collab with them to get more eyes on your work
and his work too.
You know,
absolutely.
And their work too, because that's good karma in the community.
Yeah, I could absolutely cool. do that. Like I could take Mike Jones knife that I have in my hands right now. It's a MJ3, I think, or two. MJ3, I think. It's an MJ series.
Do you have any Nuge knives?
Yes, I do. I have a Nuge.
See, Nuge would be good too. Not trying to take away from Mike, but I'm saying like, you know, Nuge is in that world.
Yeah.
Where he's selling to these guys who are outdoorsmen, bushcraft, all that.
Yeah.
That would be a sick collab to do. Yeah. Just take one of his knives, like a chickpea or something out.
I've got a Skittle of his, like his smallest knife. I got
a small one. Yeah, I have that too. Skittle, yeah.
And I got a I got one from Jared as well too. His
what's that one called?
It's a Star Wars theme knife there. It's
yeah, I know what you're talking about. Hey, can you take some photos of that? I'm going to go ahead and use a caliper too. I'm going to want all the measurements off.
You know
of
what,
that
Brian?
Knife.
I'm going to draw it up on CAD for you. I'll save you all the back work.
Oh, dude, thank you so much. I appreciate that. I appreciate that very much. Those will be in production in about three months.
I'm just going to ask Dennis like some CAD help maybe a little bit, but you know.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. I mean, I could probably just buy the knife from him directly, but why would I do that?
Yeah,
I
could just recreate it. Draw it, recreate it, replicate it. But no, I definitely could
see
do
it
that.
Sounds crazy when I say it, doesn't it, Jerry? It sounds very, very odd when I say that kind of stuff publicly.
But it's definitely something anyway. That could be done with either one of my knives when I'm out there fishing or somebody else's knife. You know, I got an axe from Peter LePay as well too, you know, that I could do the same thing when I'm out there.
Dude, I'm envisioning something right now, like you taking an axe out, chopping down some brush or something, and then, you know, making a little fire and cooking a trout on a, you know, like a carbon steel plate. You know, just
right on the river, but like right on the, not, what is the word I am looking for? Once the wood's all burnt down, not the ashes,
yeah,
but
the charcoal,
coal, the charcoal, the coals, whatever, like the hot coals, like to cook something right on hot coal is just so.
Can you do that legally in Canada? I know that there's like a lot of restrictions as far as like what we can do down here in Florida. Like we're not allowed to catch a fish and just cook it right there. Like
it depends.
Really?
It,
too much meth in the water?
No, it's something to do with like the restrictions of fit, like. Like, for instance, if I catch a shark and I want to keep a shark, I can gut the shark, but I can't remove the head.
Yeah. And it, like, the thing is if you're eating, say, your limit, your bag limit is 10 trout, right? And I go ahead and midway through my day, I decide to have 5 trout and I eat these 5 trout. And then I'm allowed to catch 5 more, technically. You know what I'm saying?
The question.
And then there's other regulations when it comes to that too. Like you're allowed 10 on your person, but you're not allowed more than 20 in your cooler. So say if I get caught out in the woods with a bag full of trout, way over my limit, 50, 60 trouts, you know, I'm not talking like one or two over, I'm talking 100 trout catch, you know? And if I get caught by game warden, well, they're going to want to come check my coolers too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's an issue.
So
here's my question, Pickle.
Go ahead.
How big are these trout where you're eating 5 for lunch?
They're small.
Are they really small?
Well, it depends. It depends. I've seen catches where I've had like just a trout and be good. Like anywhere's from like our catch limit, the smallest you could catch in bag is 3 inches. Which is like
3 inches?
Yeah, it's like a potato chip
long?
At that point. Yeah, 3 inch trout. You cook it with the head and everything and you eat it whole. Like it's
you eat
like
the bones.
Yeah. You don't even. They're not even really
like
bones at that point. Yeah, it's like an anchovy at that point. You know, you just cook it nice and crispy, and it's like eating chips almost. But like there's any like I've caught trout that were folded in my basket because they're too big, and my basket's 16 inches wide, right? So like there's trout that could go get up to 18 inches in these rivers easily, no problem. And then if you're fishing on the lake, then the lake trout, those are like 24, 34 inches long.
See, that's what I'm used to is, you know, fishing on the lake and getting lake trout.
Yeah, but like the brook
trout. They're huge, man.
The brookies are anywhere. It's like I'll bag like 5 inches and up. And when I catch like a 12-inch trout, that's a good catch. But you can catch above 12 inches as well, too.
I'm envisioning some amazing photos and video coming from you during these trips. I would hands down bank a bunch of great photos and videos. Not that you need help selling, but like you could collab with Nooj on it.
And the thing is like I mentioned earlier, like when I'm out fishing, it's like a complete different rush and atmosphere than what I'm normally living, right? So like when I'm out there fishing, I'm not even thinking really about content or anything. Like I'll maybe take a picture if I see like a nice bend in the river and there's like sun is right there and it's like a perfect shot. And I'm like, standing there for 30 seconds or so looking at it, it's like, oh, I might as well take a picture, right? But to sit there and like start like setting up content, like Justin does it all the time. Justin LaMuda from Rainy Day Forge, when he's out in the bush and he's cooking food out there, he's out fishing or whatever, like he does the whole content thing and all that. But like Justin is good at cinematics. He's good with that. He's good with putting shit together. He's done it way more than I have, and he's way better than I am at it. And his interest towards that is higher than mine as well, too. Because where me, when I'm out there, I just want to get in the fucking water and throw that line out there. You know? But I should, and I could use it to my advantage, and I could reach a whole different market, because now I could get into these fishing and angling pages on Facebook and post my knife as I'm fucking cleaning a fish. Hey, where'd you get that fucking nice fillet knife? I made it. Here's my link.
Now, you need to get one of those little itty-bitty three-inch trouts and fillet it down with your little pickle face knife.
Right. The mini fillet. Well,
thanks for the update, Pickle, man. I appreciate it. It sounds beautiful. I wish I could come with you on some of these trips.
Yeah.
It'd be great to have you up here. And
yeah, I need to get up there and see it. But hey, Brian, real quick, what are you up to in your workshop this week?
Holy shit.
You know, I'm working on more knives. I just finished up another batch. I'm starting another one. But my big push right now is trying to figure out how I'm going to update and upgrade my my forging press. I'm having issues with it bending. Well, originally it was the top plate that was bending, so I really revamped that and put a lot of steel on it and made sure that it's not going to bend anymore up at the top. But now the whole I-beam is rocking back and forth, and that's just because the foot of it is not very well stabilized. So now I've got to figure out a way to, you know, probably weld up a bunch of like triangles, and like really get it secured. But every time I fix something, another issue comes up, and I'm kind of starting to lean towards maybe this is just going to be a go my machine.
Yeah.
And that's just going to be what it is until I can afford a proper press. But,
that you know. C-style press, as far as I'm concerned, the only one that I've seen, the design that I've seen that really works commercially is the coal iron version, which is, and if you look at how they achieved it, it's like 1 or 2 inch thick plate that, you know, this huge piece of plate to try to negate that. That stretching of steel. People don't realize like how much steel moves when something
it's crazy pressure. Now I went to the hammering over at Bob Rankin's shop.
Oh yeah, I don't know if you saw that. I did see that.
I mean, that was really fun. There was a lot of people there. I was expecting like maybe 10 people, 15 people, but it was way more than that. And you know, it was really cool to catch up with a bunch of people and meet a couple people and you know, basically talk and, you know, share ideas and whatnot. But Bob actually went ahead and forged a billet of Damascus. And he says that his press is somewhere between 25 and 30 tons. It's huge. It's way bigger than what I have. But the fact that it was squishing as much as it was squishing on flat dies opened my eyes to just how underpowered mine is.
Yeah, I feel the same way too, man. Like I see all these other people like drawing out steel with flat dies, and I was like, I need
what
bigger.
The hell,
yeah,
right?
I need bigger. Yeah.
But that's kind of given me the push of, okay, well, let's see how close to that I can get my little one up to.
I might just skip Blade Show this year and upgrade my press.
A good press is a good investment.
It would make more money than going to Blade Show, that's for sure. But yeah. I've been thinking about it because my frame could definitely take a bigger cylinder, but then I'd probably have to upgrade pump and all that shit too. So, but the frame could definitely
take it. That's one of the things that I'm thinking is the fact that my press moves so slowly makes me think that maybe my pump is a little underpowered as well. But I don't know my ass or my elbow when it comes to hydraulics.
I'm the same fucking way too, man. Like, trust me, I have no clue.
Now, if you didn't want to invest all this money in tooling like this and you wanted some really great steel, and you wanted it to be like really detailed and really great and then shipped to you for a great price, where would you go?
Oh, Baker Forge, my dude. Baker Forge and Tool over at bakerforge.com. That's where you're going to find the best damn Damascus and etching gator piss. I mean, you don't get better in gator piss.
And you can get it at Texas Farrier Supply now. So the gator piss is available there. You can go check that out.
You know where else you could get it? And many other things.
I'm pretty sure you can get it at maritimeknifesupply.com as well if you're in Canada.
Yeah, man. And all kinds of other things as well, too. Steel, handle material, fasteners, abrasives, adhesives. You could get grinders. You could get forges. You could get all kinds of jazz there. Check them out.
I'm just curious, though, Pickle. What's your THC level looking at right now? Like you did a great, that's a great ad read off the cuff. And you've told me numerous times that you're not able to do this. No, and yet here we are.
No, when you catch me off guard is when it's hard for me, but like I played into
all right.
it. I played into it and I was able to, but yes, my THC levels are about a gram and a half in on my first joint this morning. And I doubled up on my dosage.
You should have like a meter, like yeah, it just yeah. reads.
Yeah, right. Like I hit that. A button on my wrist and it tells me how much THC I have on me. But do you know why the fish got kicked out of school?
Why?
Whoa. We still have two more ads to talk about.
But we'll get there. We'll get there.
But do you know why the fish got kicked out of school?
Why?
Why is that?
It was caught with seaweed.
That's really good.
Sorry about the bad really fishing good. Jokes. I kind of feel guilty now.
That's like a very good fishing and weed joke.
Yeah, it is. But
for you,
I had another one that was coming into that, and we talked over each other. But I'll say it again: is that sorry? I'm telling these bad fishing jokes. I kind of feel guilty.
Guilty. That's funny. Not as strong as the first one.
The first one was very good. Yeah.
Make sure you go over and check out Kyle Daly at KH Daly Knives if you're interested in getting all kinds of fantastic knife making and workshop tools. He is an innovator, an engineer. He's got file work sets. He's got books on file work. You can even take, I don't know if he's going to do this year at Blade, but last year he did a class on file work, yep. which was super interesting.
He said it's almost already sold out on that class.
Oh,
so
wow.
I think there's just a couple spots. Get in on it if you want to.
And make sure you go check out his new device, which is a knife sanding sled. And this is something he mm-hmm. just came out with, and you can get it fully built or you can... it looks like you can kind of like get different options. Anyway, it's a really cool design and I think it's fantastic and it's unique. So just go out and check out his knife sanding sleds. And then when you're finished with your projects, even your coffee scoops, I yesterday needed to take some really great video of the coffee scoop project. And I was looking at the steel and I was like, well, it's a little dull. So I went ahead and grabbed some Pelican paste and I just smothered that thing in Pelican paste and it popped, made that steel mm-hmm. pop. It made it shiny, beautiful. It protected it. It's not like the other stuff that you get in the tin, the wax stuff and the oils and all that. Travis Haynes over at PelicanPaste.com has done a fantastic job of formulating and innovating in this space. Make sure you go check him out. And if you use WFI10 at checkout, you get 10% off. Make sure you tell Travis that we sent you. He is a member of this community. And again, I go back to, you know, the sponsors of this show. They are people that we work with. We have used their equipment. We talk to on a daily basis. I don't partner or allow sponsors to come in if we do not do work with them. So it's just very important that we keep that space community based and not smash and grab type deal. Like there's a lot of that going on in this. And, you know, it's I don't like it and I want to keep it close, tighten it and support the guys who support us because hey, it matters. It really does matter. So I love it. Anyway. That's it. I don't know.
We got an after show question?
Yes, we do, but I need to do a dad joke. I'm like,
I
what do
guys
I do?
I threw off with that one, right? So I thought I was playing.
Yeah,
it,
you
right?
really
Hell,
did.
Man,
I was okay. seeing the clock tick by and I was like, wait a second, maybe I got time to sneak this in before the 1 hour mark. Because I didn't even see the time go by in this one. I looked up and I was like 50 minutes in and I was like, holy shit.
Holy shit, right?
Yeah. I was not prepared. But did you guys hear about the guy that stayed up all night wondering where the sun had gone?
What happened? What?
A guy stayed up all night and he was wondering where the sun had gone.
Did he find it?
And then it finally dawned on him. All right, let's get to the after show question because this is very apropos, and I'm going to keep this person anonymous until we get to the after show. So if you want to find out who this is, then you can. He requested that he would remain anonymous in the main show. So, all right. So how do you deal with someone that thinks you copied their design and then calls you out publicly? Whoa. So, and there's a little bit more detail to this because somebody created a thing, and that thing 2 years ago, this person reached out to the person and said, hey, I would like to distribute said thing. Okay. This person said they would think about it. They said eventually said, no, they don't want anyone else distributing this thing. And the thing, it's important to know, is not an original idea. It's not an original concept. This person was just making them and selling them. Okay. Mm. So then fast forward 2 years ago, the person who was originally making them and selling them has moved on, gone to a different space. And then the person who asked to distribute them started making a version of this. It is not the same version thing. But it is similar, but it does the same kind of thing, but it's definitely improved. It's better and blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
Then this person comes out of the woodwork 2 years later to publicly shame said person, to say that this person stole my idea and this person is now selling this and they asked me to distribute it 2 years ago. And now this is the face of, and by the way, screen grabbed the person, they're real, screen grabbed and wrote all of this over their face and said, you cannot buy your integrity back. Publicly shaming this said person.
Fuck that guy.
Mm-hmm.
How do you deal with this? This is the question. How do you damage control this? And in the after show, we're going to answer this. And if you want to hear what we have to say about this and you want to hear about who this is happening to, you got to go over to patreon.com/workforit and sign up $10.80 a year. And you can get in on all this beautiful drama that is going on in this community right now with the stealing of ideas and thievery and all of this stuff.
When you
and I'll tell you what, it's fucking good. Oh, it's good. It's better than Bachelor and Bachelorette and Survivor all together. You can combine all of these shows together and it's not as good.
It's not as good. About
Survivor, though.
Survivor is really good this season. Like, fucking great. You and I have to have an off-air conversation about what's happening. Yeah,
because I've not watched Survivor in 20 plus years. So.
Oh, it's so good. Oh my God.
But
you got to get back on
when
that.
You do that little voice, like you did it at the beginning and you just did it now, you're a little, I just want to go, and you sound like Goofy.
Hey, like you guys want to talk about fucking each other in the ass when it comes to business? Come on, let's go. Let's do it. You want to theme my designs and make something, make money off of me and blah, blah, blah.
Follow me and take my ideas.
Follow me for more financial advice.
Yes.
I got to be honest. I love this shit. I really love it.
I know you
do. And it's great. It's good conversation. And it really is, like, because I think it's an important thing that we all have to kind of like work on ourselves, because it's easy to let your ego get in the way. And, you know, fuck you. I mean, I don't know what else to say. You gotta look at yourself in the mirror and tell yourself you're not a special snowflake.
Yeah, you should look at yourself every morning in the mirror and say, go fuck yourself.
It's the truth. It really is.
Yeah, because you're not better than anybody else. You're exactly. not above anybody. We all breathe the same air. And when we shit at the end of the day or in the morning and we flush that toilet, it goes down to the same sewer treatment plant as, you know, everybody else's. So you're just a person like everybody else. No.
You're all wrong, man. My shit does not stink. Oh, I've said this for years.
Here we go.
All right, you guys ready to move on to the after show? I'm done.
Let's do it.
Let's move on. Let's answer this question. Let's get into the drama.
Yeah, I
want to
go fishing,
situation.
Man.
Let's get a priority. I love where your priorities are.
Today
you can't
they
go
are
snowboarding, so you're going fishing.
Today they are all about fishing, yes. Absolutely.
All right.
Sorry, guys.
Very good. All right. See you in the after show.